This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there in the world. First, though, this is pretty hilarious. Actually, a couple things that Trump put out in the world of social media are pretty funny today. One of them is complaining about, I guess, the temperature in the courtroom, which is definitely never ideal. It's never a good temperature, but here's Trump on that.
The New York judicial system in particular, the New York judicial system has been absolutely abused and abused terribly. And it's the whole world is watching. It's very bad. So I'll now go and sit in that freezing cold courtroom for 8 or 9 hours and think about being on the campaign. But
I'll think about being on the campaign trail. I'll think about doing my own thing. And, you know, it's not fair that I'm in here. Honestly, I'll say this right at the start of this whole thing. The biggest benefit to Biden is to hamper Trump on the campaign trail. Because in 2020, what you absolutely remember happening was Trump was all over the place. Trump was, you know, speaking and demonstrating the popularity that he had with the American people. And Biden was hiding in his basement. And so what better way to try to even that playing field and not have to put Biden out there more, because you know Biden's going to screw up if he's out there more, than try to force Trump to not be able to be talking to the American people as often as he wants. There is a geniusness to this version of an attack, this version of a setup and a you know, prevention. Because of how much it is one of the separating factors between the two of them to the average, maybe, you know, independent voter. It's not the only separating factor, but it's one of the separating factors. It wasn't the only moment that Trump had that was pretty hilarious. There was also something that I would basically just call a WWE version of a video where he said, in fact, anytime, anywhere, any place, I'll go ahead and take you on. And that's literally, I think, the entirety of the message. There were a lot of short little clips put up by Trump, but here's this one. This one's pretty great.
Come on, Joe, let's do it. Anywhere, anytime, any place.
It fades right to Trump. Text Trump to 88022 for more information on his campaign. Come on, Joe, anytime, anywhere, any place. I'll take you on as long as you're not forcing me into a courtroom somewhere and making me talk about stuff I don't want to talk about. Biden did say on when he will willingly debate Trump, he is, you know, claiming that he's open to this, but there's a difference between claiming it and then actually doing it. But he has told people to just go ahead and set it up. I have that audio as well. Make sure. Oh, that's a little bit loud. Let's get that a little lower.
When will you
debate President
Trump? When? Set it up.
Come on, set it up anytime, anywhere, any place, and we'll go ahead and do it. Not exactly the same flavor, not exactly the same punch that you get from Trump's audio on that. But apparently they're willing to debate each other. So let's get them in a room and make it happen. And if it doesn't happen, I'm sure I'm not going to be blaming Trump for that because it just makes no sense. Moving on to some other stuff, and I promise I'll get back to Trump a lot today. It's a conversation that deserves to be had. Stormy Daniels. Ridiculous in the courtroom to have it be so viral and so significantly discussed because it has nothing to do with the case that Trump is up against in that courtroom. The things they're talking about that Stormy said, it's not relevant at all to the jury. It's not relevant to the judge. Like, it shouldn't have been said. And actually, the judge told the prosecution going in not to lean on salacious details that Stormy Daniels provides. And so I thought that was really interesting that it happened anyway. And actually, I even found some audio from a 60 Minutes interview that Stormy did in 2018 that seems to disagree with what Stormy Daniels is saying now. But as I said, I'll get to it a little later on. It is important, but it's everywhere. A few minutes of us not talking about that is totally fine here today. I love this audio. This is Eric Adams, the mayor in New York. He's hopping on a flight and he's going to Rome. Now, granted, at some point in society, I think the politicians just stole our money and were quiet about it. Now they think that they can actually promote it to you and you'll be like, oh yeah, this is good. I'm glad you're going to spend my money and take a trip to Rome and have a conversation about how to fix certain things in New York by talking to somebody somewhere you don't need to talk to. Or I don't know, you could just call them on a phone or something. There's other ways to do this. But anyway, here's Eric Adams putting up a video talking about how he's on a flight and he's going places and you're welcome.
First of all, most important thing, let's go Knicks. Let's win it.
I think he almost said Nets, too, by the way, there, instead of Knicks.
To Italy, part of an overall finding our common grounds, how we deal with migrants and asylum seekers, how we deal with affordable housing, our economy, sustainability, just some important issues.
Some important issues that I got to cover in Italy and in Rome that I got to talk about. I don't know how to deal with illegal immigrants in our country, even though the truth is that in every other country, they just have a much more significant prevention mechanism for not allowing people to get into the country in the first place. That might be something they throw out there. They also usually send people who are breaking the law back to whatever country they're in. That's not, in fact, the place they're supposed to be. Those are some ideas for you. But again, I just love this. And there's so many versions of this. Actually, Biden's whole appearance on CNN, almost all of it was just crap and lying and ridiculousness. And, you know, I'm just going to say something in response to a fact that is not true. And it's going to try to question the fact. Like more Americans are struggling right now. Joe, what do you think about that? Well, that's interesting. Also, no, I don't think that's true. And that's the arrogance of so many on a certain side of the political aisle in today's society that they think you'll believe them. You show up at the grocery store and things cost more money. You look at your bank statement and you have less money in your bank. You're charging more things, credit card debts at an all-time high. And yet Biden thinks he can go on television. And maybe he's unaware. Like the thing is, he's so broken in his brain. A part of me would be convinced, or at least convincible, that Biden is not lying, that he thinks he's telling the truth. It's not the truth. He's just wrong. But it's one or the other there. Either he's stupid enough to believe this stuff or not. I think Fox said that he might have lied once every single minute during his 17-minute appearance. ABC fact-checked Biden's claim that inflation was 9% when he took office, or 1.4% was what it actually was. There's just a bunch of things that went down in the courtroom that are just hilarious here. This is one of those moments where ABC is even like, yeah, he is wrong about that.
It was 9% when I came to office. 9%.
Inflation was actually 1.4% when Biden was sworn in, peaking at 9.1% in June 2022.
Yeah, that's your fault, sir. I don't know if you know when you got in office anymore, but it's been a little while. You've been in office for just a bit. But there are so many of those moments. And so again, to, you know, try to pull back from just ranting on this show as much as I would desire to do. The arrogance of the Democratic politician, or the arrogance of most politicians, maybe on both sides of the aisle, is to just lie and beg you to accept it. And if you're stupid, or if you're unwilling to look even a little bit, well, then I guess you got tricked. I guess you were sucked in. And I guess that means that now you are willing to continue to, you know, take another spoonful of whatever the truth is that they want you to think the truth is. And case in point might actually be something else sort of amazing that's going on out there in the world. So Chris Cuomo is a name I don't really think about talking about often. He's a guy who obviously had the whole getting fired from CNN and whatnot. His brother wound up getting in a bit of trouble. You remember all the things. Anyway, he's now on News Nation, a television show that's not getting anywhere near the amount of ratings of, well, even Dana's radio show is crushing it. Absolutely so much so crushing it. And so as they're doing that, Cuomo's changing. He's shifting gears. He's demonstrating that if you're not paid to say something on one side, you're willing to say something on the very other side, and yet not willing to apologize for all the crap you said before. And this is what I mean by this. Cuomo now accepts vaccine injuries as a thing. He claims to actually have one. He says that it was never about, you know, COVID good or vaccine good, vaccine bad. And so that's why he's not going to apologize. And then the supercut that Tom Elliott incredibly created from Grabian and put up on social media of just how much of a jerk he was about not getting a vaccine for years. It is amazing. I don't know if he actually believes that he's immune to criticism on this topic, if he's that arrogant and crappy of a person, or if he just refuses to say because he doesn't want the audio out there where he actually did own it. But here is Cuomo in an interview talking about how, you know, he didn't get it wrong, but the information has changed. And then also a whole bunch of times where he's getting it very, very wrong.
Apology? Of course not. This is never as simple as vaccine good, vaccine bad. We have data to support the fact that there are thousands of people who have had adverse effects that are not getting attention.
Be nice to the unvaccinated. Don't shame them. Let them learn. Enough. This country is about the vaccinated and those who choose to put them at risk.
Oh, man.
The vaccinated are this country. They've all done the right thing. So how long must the majority wait for the stubborn, waiting on people who insist on making themselves and others sick? And there is no valor in being unvaccinated.
Oh, this just goes on and on and on. There's like 4 minutes of this thing, and it's incredible. And every single moment of it is just himself owning ridiculously. Hear more.
For doing that, it is a personal choice I have made.
It's see,
my own health care. No, I am allowed to do that.
Here's the thing, Byron. Do you have the right? Of course, nobody's debating that except you guys as a false choice.
Although actually they were forcing you to get the vaccine, so we were definitely doing
that.
What
I'm saying is it right? That is being dumb as a proxy for being bold, because you're seeing some kind of righteousness and a choice to do something that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And why shouldn't I?
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm done. I'm done with it. It's amazing. There's 4 minutes of this. You can find it. Tom Elliott on Grabian does a great job all the time with this stuff. And it's the kind of thing that you don't often see of someone being so, so wrong so many times, admitting it years later, but refusing to admit that they were wrong in a way that matters to anybody. Like, no, I'm not apologizing. How dare you, sir? I'm still more important than most of you terrible people. All right, we'll take a break. A lot coming up throughout the show. This is The Dana Show. Craig Collins filling in.
Our partners over at ReadyWise, great American company providing high-quality, premium survival food packed at their state-of-the-art plant right here in the U.S. of A. So you're supporting American jobs, and you have meals at the ready. You never have to worry about what you're going to feed your family should there be sudden storms, power outages, supply chain disruptions, or maybe you just want to go like for a hiking trip. I don't know. It gives you peace of mind knowing you have meals on hand to feed your family. Now, they have an emergency 1 month supply 2 bucket bundle right now that includes 36 pouches of premium survival food. All like every meal, you get all your hots and some of your colds too. You get meals like teriyaki rice, you get tortilla soup, you have 2,000 plus calories, 50 grams of protein per day, freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. But from start to finish, it's all in the USA, so you're supporting American jobs. Time to prepare is now, so visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in at DanaRadio.com. Dana Lash, or D Lash, if you want to find her on social media, Dana Lash Radio as well, of course. A bunch of places to find her all over the place. A ridiculous, insanely giant audience and show. I'm thrilled to be on it. All right, let's do this real quick. A quick five. I thought
and
this was
now,
pretty funny.
All of the news you would probably miss.
Thank you.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
There we go. Forgot about that intro. The quick five. The first one, I love this. And actually, one of Dana's producers who created a lot of this stuff for me said this is the duh news story of the day. Makes sense. Ultra-processed foods are harmful to your health. Yeah, duh. That's something that a lot of us, of course, understand. And a lot of the reasons that more and more people are trying to eat healthier things. Don't eat ultra-processed foods. Another one I love. What is an Ozempic baby? Apparently, a lot of young women who are taking Ozempic for weight loss find out that they're ending up pregnant. This is maybe because the things are going well in one area or another or something. Who knows what's happening there? You might be able to guess on some of that yourself. But they're calling them Ozempic babies, and women are now worried that taking the medicine or whatever you want to call it, the drug, is actually causing maybe problems. We don't know yet. There's no studies yet for the child once you have a baby. But that is an interesting problem to have, is you lost too much weight and now you ended up pregnant. I won't go into more detail. I think, again, people can figure this out. Hospitals are refusing to do surgeries unless you pay in full first. That's a story that's making headlines a lot of places. Many hospitals, in fact, do this. I guess it's better than the alternative of them trying to get like a refund, you know, like being like, well, you didn't pay us, so I'm taking that kidney back out. That seems like a worse version to me. Both seem bad. You'd hope to get the surgery done, but if you can't pay, Maybe that's going to be a problem at some point down the road. I don't know. But this is a real thing. People are now having to pay up front or just no surgery. Another quick five item that I thought was hilarious. Fractional home ownership. People are now contemplating buying a percentage of a house in order to own something. It's sort of like a timeshare, I guess, where you might be able to be in the house sometimes and then not in the house other times. Or it's literally like you get a percent and then you live in just that percentage of the home the whole time until you maybe buy some more. I'm not sure exactly how you divide this up. A lot of people are questioning the value of fractional home ownership. But if, hey, young people are going to build a tiny house and be out somewhere in the world, why not put them in a guest room that they pay a certain percentage of your mortgage for? I don't know. It's a real thing. And people are saying this might save our housing crisis. I'm not sure that it will. I'm not sure that that's the road I want to go down just personally or that many people want to go down. But darn it, it is what it is. And then one last one that I did also like for a quick five. A federal lawsuit in Ohio about a license plate request has nothing to do with Joe Biden or Brandon or anything else. But apparently it caused a big, big controversy because someone wants something that seems to be saying that they have a specific opinion of the current president. The Let's Go Brandon version of a thing. The actual license plate is F46LGB. F46LGB. You figure out, I figure out, we all figure out what you're saying there. It seems like maybe some of this is actually pretty hilarious. But the person denied it had anything to do with the president and just give them their license plate. All right, quick break. A lot more coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Black Rifle Coffee. I had two cups. I don't even know what it was. I just said, give me whatever strong. And I saw Dark Roast on the bag. It was a new bag that was open. And I feel like I could probably like Hulk out right now. That's all I know. I needed to wake up. I needed to wake up this morning. It was like the weather's changing. I was sleepy. You know how it is. Black Rifle Coffee is the best coffee that you can get in America. It is so good. And a lot of people, a lot of big coffee out there, they're very uncomfortable by the presence of Black Rifle Coffee because they're mainstreaming everything that we love about the USA. And I mean, it's literally called Black Rifle. So, you know, I love it. Veteran owned, veteran operated. They hire retired and active duty and they serve premium coffee to people who love America. They get the best beans. Every bag's roasted right here in the US of A. You got ground, you got whole bean, you got K-cups, you got ready to drink. And you can also find kettles, grinders, mugs, and so much more. Now you can join the Black Rifle Coffee Club. I sincerely hope you do this. This is the best way to get it. You're going to save more than the bougiest brand. You're going to save more getting coffee with Black Rifle Coffee Club than you would buying it at the store, buying any coffee at the store, because you pick your roast, frequency of shipment, they send it to your doorstep for free. It's awesome. And you can try it for yourself today. BlackRifleCoffee.com. Make your order of coffee today and get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off code Dana, BlackRifleCoffee.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. You can see Dana live on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, DirecTV, Channel 347, all over the place, all via the First TV. Listen to The Dana Show live from 12 to 3 Eastern every single weekday on the Audacity app, podcasts, Dana Lash or D Lash at social media on Twitter or Dana Lash Radio as well. I'll bring in Rich Lenkov. Rich Lenkov is a lawyer out of Chicago. He is one of two hosts of Legal Face-Off, an award-winning podcast that dives into all kinds of legal things, both serious and silly, every other week. Rich, there's a few big legal things I wanted to talk to you about. The first, of course, which has dominated headlines, which Trump is very good at doing, is all this Stormy Daniels, whatever you want to call it, hush money case out of New York. And I have to ask you, just kind of to start, how ridiculous is it that one of the biggest takeaways from mainstream media is something that Stormy never should have been able to talk about on a witness stand, about a tax evasion case and not about anything else?
It's all pretty, you know, you said that we talk about serious and silly. It's both in this case, more silly than serious, though. You're right. I mean, the standard by which all evidence should be admitted into any court, this court or anywhere else, is, you know, relevant. Evidence has to be relevant. I don't know, after listening intently to media reports of the testimony, of course, we're not privy to the actual testimony, but you know, by all accounts, all this extraneous stuff about his cologne and his sexual prowess and him wearing a T-shirt, it's, you know, I don't know what standard by which you can justify that being relevant, but it's not. And more than that, even if it was relevant, Craig, from a legal strategy standpoint, it's just stupid lawyering, you know, because all you're doing is distracting the jury from the core issue in the case. It's a fairly straightforward legal issue, right? Present the facts, make your argument, and let the jury decide. Instead, they're trying to muddy the waters, in my opinion, by throwing all this stuff up, trying to attack the credibility of Trump, which, listen, it's not hard to do in a lot of issues, but in this particular case, I don't understand the relevance of it. So I think it's a really, more than the relevance question, it's really stupid lawyering.
Well, and here, I'll ask you a couple things about that. So I think the desire is, one, to get the media coverage that they're getting, to have a benefit in as far as the election itself goes, which has nothing to do with what's happening in the courtroom. And then, two, it's to prejudice the jury. Trump's team has asked multiple times now to call a mistrial because of how little any of this has to do with whether or not Trump was uniquely involved in a, you know, a mischaracterization of a amount of money that got spent by an organization that he's in charge of. And by the way, I would actually just say I doubt very often in cases like this where someone is accused of some sort of tax mistake that the guy at the absolute head of that company winds up taking the fall and not an accountant somewhere. But that seems to be the biggest problem, is that now the jury might convict because they're out of Manhattan, and also because they now think Trump's a bad guy, even though that has nothing to do with if he was instrumental in changing, you know, a payment in a way.
I think you're right. I mean, I think that, you know, it's tempting to try to argue to the jury either, you know, implicitly or directly that Trump is not credible generally. Look, he's lied about a lot of things. Therefore, he's guilty of this crime. But again, you have to establish the nexus there. You have to establish why, if Trump lied about this hush money situation, why does that mean that he's guilty in this very specific crime? And again, I don't think they've done their job in convincing. Maybe they will. Maybe they will have an, you know, amazing couple days, and the additional witnesses, including Michael Cohen, will tie that up. But at the end of the day, Craig, this relies on intent. It relies on showing to the jury, proving to the jury that Trump intended to do this crime when he, you know, was involved in the testimony. I think that's very difficult to prove without Trump testifying. And we know he's not going to testify.
Sure. And I know he denies all of it, by the way. I would say one other last thing. I think the other big challenge that the prosecutors have in this specific case is the credibility of all the witnesses. Michael Cohen has admitted to perjury. You know, Stormy Daniels seems to be remembering this story differently depending on what year it is. There's audio of her in 2018 giving an interview to 60 Minutes and saying that she remembers it differently every time she thinks about it. So it seems as though the credibility of every single witness can be obliterated. And that makes it even more of a question as to why. I mean, most legal experts seem to think this was the weakest of any case Trump could face. And now it's likely to be the only case he faces before the election. So I wonder if you agree if the witnesses themselves are all just a joke.
There's no question that bedrock principle that all litigators adhere to, including myself, is credibility matters, right, on all issues. And if you don't, if you're not credible, even on a small issue, then you're not credible on all issues, right? Sure. As a litigator, I try to establish from any adverse witness that they're not truthful, that they're lying, that they're inconsistent, that they have different histories. You know, if you have a different history to the point of Trump's lawyer yesterday about whether you ate dinner or not, that might seem like an innocuous thing to most people, but it matters, right? You tell consistent stories regardless of how many times you tell them. And if you don't, then that impedes your credibility and you can't be believed on all things. So I think you're right. The fact that Michael Cohen is a convicted felon, that Stormy Daniels has told different stories, that she has the intent to profit from all this, I think that's going to hurt the case immensely.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on to one other thing that's all over the news, and it's these decisions by colleges to send cops in to break up the encampments or the protests or whatever you want to call them. I do think it's funny that some of the headlines include cops wearing riot gear, because I do think you'd wear, you know, gear if you're going to go in and arrest people that are likely to be angry that you're there, and no one's actually been hurt in any sort of significant way that I've seen in any of these kind of stories. But I'll ask you just from like the legal aspects of all this. The colleges have every right to do this and to tell the students they have to leave, and every need to involve law enforcement in that, correct?
Of course. Listen, your listeners know I'm not the first legal analyst to give this opinion, and it's pretty much, you know, common sense. You have the First Amendment right to protest, to assemble, even to engage in hate speech. You don't have the right to do that when you're trespassing, when you're destroying property that belongs to others, when you're impeding on the civil rights of others, including Jewish students, as we've seen, when you're engaging in physical attacks, when you're poking people in the eye. Those are all crimes. Doesn't matter if you're engaged in free speech. Those are crimes. So the universities have every right to, you know, break down these encampments, as some have done. I just passed by, literally, as we're talking, DePaul University in, you know where that is, in your old neck of the woods, where I live. DePaul University is still, the quad is still riddled with tents and signs, and this has been 3 weeks. It boggles the mind to think that you would have this beautiful space in the middle of a campus in the middle of Chicago, bogged down with all these, you know, all these tents and these protests. Again, protests. Sure. Whatever you want in the proper space. But, you know, at University of Florida, Ben Sasse, the former senator, the president said it right. You know, we're not going to allow this to govern the entire university. So I think the police have every right to do what they've done. And they've shown, to your point, remarkable restraint in many occasions.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I wonder if the other thing you could help me, you know, kind of answer is if a lot of these young people are unaware of the level of significance that this will have for being arrested for this. That's an arrest that'll be on your record forever. The punishment for this, I'm not sure exactly what it'll be for a lot of those arrested, but there are going to be a lot of young people and a lot of people who had no connection whatsoever to these universities on these campuses too, in courtrooms trying to defend themselves and finding out that they're definitely guilty of something. Do you think that's going to have a lasting effect that they will obviously regret?
Well, I think they understand that partially because they're wearing masks.
Sure.
Why would you wear a mask if you weren't afraid of the repercussions? You know, this is they compare themselves to the civil rights movement or the apartheid movement of the 80s. And, you know, I don't remember masks. I don't remember Martin Luther King wearing a mask or Gandhi wearing a mask to hide their face from facial recognition. Right. So listen, if you're going to take a stand, if you're going to, you know, miss days of class and, you know, waste time and impede people's ability to go to class, at least show your face, stand up for yourself so that, to your point, there can be repercussions for your actions and employers can decide whether to employ you in the future. We just saw, you know, federal judges, a bunch of them wrote a letter to Columbia saying, we're not going to hire your law school graduates as federal court clerks. Why? Because we don't think that this is appropriate. We don't want to hire you. That's great. Yeah. There should be more of that. So if you want to protest, you want to do this, God bless. But, you know, there's going to be repercussions from it.
You know, I love the way you say that, because one of the things I most admired about people who would protest other issues in the past is a willingness to accept the consequences. And one of the things that seems least likely of these young people is a desire to even have consequences. And they're mad about them. And it's crazy. I want to shift gears to one other quick thing. The Hunter Biden stories that broke this week. He tried twice to get this felony gun charge dismissed, and he failed twice. So he will likely be in a courtroom at some point, say a month or so from now, fighting a gun charge for lying about certain things and then, you know, trying to attain and actually having a gun. So it's amazing to think that as all this stuff's going on with Trump and all these other courtrooms and the college campuses and whatnot, that the son of the sitting president is likely to face a felony gun charge in a courtroom. And somehow it's a back burner topic on a whole lot of news media. Go ahead.
You're right. It hasn't been covered too extensively. But yes, the three-judge panel in the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals rejected this argument, saying that it was mostly a procedural. They didn't really get into the substance of it. They basically said that you can't hold trial at this point. You can't continue the trial. So he's going to tried in June, it looks like, on these gun charges. And, you know, I expect that it seems pretty straightforward. He did, you know, fill out that document, and I think he'll be convicted of it.
Yeah, and what's crazy about that, too, is when people were calling a sweetheart deal, the deal that he got where this was just going to go away, not even be a thing he'd even have to plead on at all, that was one of the biggest takeaways. Is like, look at the stuff that Biden is potentially getting as part of this agreement. Now all that got obliterated, of course, when he didn't play along in the courtroom at the right time. But if he is convicted of a felony gun charge in a courtroom in June, as you said, it looks like he will be, it will be a surreal moment for anyone that bought into the idea that he wasn't getting a sweetheart deal a year ago when this was all just going to go away for him.
Well, I think, listen, to be fair to your point, I think that's good, right? That is an example of the judicial system being fair and impartial. And the fact that Trump is not going to trial on most charges and that Biden is before the election, I think, to be fair, cuts into the argument that this is a Democrat-induced witch hunt, right? So, I mean, let's give credit where credit is due that these judges are ruling on the evidence and they're not just proceeding because of the election. So I think that's
well, sure. I think you can say that for sure. But as you see in a lot of media and other places, the idea that this is happening is making everyone so very upset. And they're saying that this is not a justice being served. So the shaping of the narrative compared to the actual narrative itself is definitely intriguing to watch. Great job. I love talking to you on a bunch of this stuff. Rich Lenkov, you can find his podcast. You can find a bunch of information. Legal Face Off is the name of the show. Anything else people need to know before I let you go, buddy?
No, check it out. We just dropped a new episode. We're also discussing interesting issues involving Kristi Noem. That's the Tom Brady roast. Any legal issues involved with Tom Brady roast? And, of course, the Kendrick versus Drake rap beef.
Yes, of course. Very important to cover. Thank you. A quick break. Absolutely. A lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
So set immigration politics aside for a moment. New diseases are entering through U.S. borders and infections. The University of Nebraska's Med Center has been tracking it. USA Today has written about it. All kinds of infections, diseases. Plus, you remember the medication shortages during COVID and remember not being able to see a doctor and long lines at the ER? So my advice is to prepare for the next disease or infection. Get out in front of it. Order a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. Now, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 different medical issues. And these are strong antibiotics for infections of all type, like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus, there's an easy doctor's guide you can follow, so you'll know exactly when and how to use it without a trip to the doctor or the hospital or the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes, and your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Follow Dana on Twitter, on YouTube, on Rumble. She's all over the place. Find her everywhere. And this show is awesome. So I thought this was hilarious. A woman was doing names at a college commencement and was just butchering them, just swing and miss after swing and miss. And I don't know if, you know, some players get the yips. Some players get in the moment and then it takes over and you lose sight and you go way worse than you intend to go. But as I play some of this audio, I'll tell you what the actual names are, and you'll realize just how bad it got as far as swing and missing. It's not hard names, some of these, but here we go.
Maybe Lee Zubeth Bratowski.
Maybe Lee Zubeth Bratowski is maybe Elizabeth Bratowski. So that was a bit of a swing and a miss. Let's continue.
Sire Uvun Jinju Brennan.
Sarah Virginia Brennan is that name right there. That's something.
Uvun Jinju Brennan.
So here, before I even keep playing this, apparently there were phonetic spellings on the page and not actual spellings. And the woman said she'd never seen this before. She wished they just wrote names. Like, she apologized, but she kept barreling toward it. And you really think she probably should have been subbed in for. Yeah, way to go, Sarah.
Marcelin Babazan Carr.
That's Marissa Lynn and Carr, and she said Marcellin something. I don't know. At some point, I imagine you get somebody a graduation diploma with the fake name written on it, and that becomes a hilarious gift that people exchange as far as family. Mother's Day is coming up. One of my favorite stories this year about Mother's Day is how little moms want to spend time with their kids this specific Mother's Day. And they have every right to get a day off, to get a nice break. I don't remember this being as much of a thing that people talked about before, but a lot of answers and surveys have said, I'd like a day to spend with my friends or to go to the spa or to have some sort of like alone time, whatever it is. So I think this is great because it makes guys like me have good gifts for the first time in a Mother's Day in a while, because that's all you want to do. You want to give Ma a gift card for something or some sort of like, you know, cash in an envelope and be like, you go have fun. And apparently that's what they want. I don't know if it's just because it's been so many years after all the getting locked down and stuff and spending all the time in the same place, or if it's just a lot more honesty that's hitting. But this makes sense, and I don't think anybody should be upset about it. Apparently some people in social media are upset. Mom doesn't want to spend time with you. But she's doing it all the rest of the time. And it's not that she doesn't like you. She just wants a little bit of sweet, delicious freedom. So I respect it. I absolutely respect it. And again, it makes my quote-unquote bad gifts that aren't well thought out perfect for exactly what they are. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
One of the academic institutions where you will not see people engaging in the pup tent intifada. And over at Hillsdale, this is a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. They're all about the pursuit of truth, defense of liberty, founded to offer the education needed to preserve civil and religious liberties. Now, they offer a lot of free stuff in that you don't have to go to their campus in southern Michigan to take advantage of what they have to offer. They have, for instance, this free speech digest that they send out every month. It's called Imprimis. And they do deep dives with leading conservative thinkers on issues that really affect you. The one that I think is the most terrifying is the one that they highlight this month, which is the American Medical Association declaring that medicine is just too rife with racism. And as a result, they have to lower the standards on medical school entrance tests, so which is racist in and of itself. So instead of declaring that minority medicinal practitioners can meet the standard, they're saying they can't, so they're going to lower it. Now, that is the, you know, that is actually racism. And this is happening in other fields as well. And this is what Imprimis explores. It's free. There's no cost or obligation to get it. They produce and mail it at Hillsdale as part of their educational mission on behalf of liberty. So sign up for your free subscription today at Dana4FORHillsdale.com.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be here for Dana. You can find her all over the place, though, of course. iTunes, anywhere you get your podcasts, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, just everywhere. The show is a massive, massive success. Let me do this. Let me first play some audio of a Democrat that's begging you to not use your brain at all when thinking about any of the stuff going on in our society, or specifically what's going on in the Middle East. And Biden saying that he's going to withhold weapons from Israel, which, of course, is something that's going to make not just Hamas, but Iran and a whole lot of other people very, very happy. Hezbollah, you name it, the surrounding areas that often try to attack Israel and the whole reason for the Iron Dome. But this is Chris Van Hollen saying that none of this has anything to do with politics. How dare anybody say that? And begging you to just turn your brain off and accept what he says is true.
That's been reported that the Biden administration had been hoping to avoid making this public, at least until after his speech marking the Holocaust Remembrance Day and addressing anti-Semitism and reminding Americans that his commitment to Israel remains ironclad despite some disagreements. Now, that's being interpreted then as a political move by the president to have waited to come forward with this policy change following that.
Of course, that's political.
That speech. What do you make of that?
I don't think that that's the case.
Please.
You know, the president has been clear from the beginning about his ironclad support for the defense of Israel.
Yeah, except for the fact that in order to defend themselves, they need our assistance, and we're now going to refuse to provide it. That seems to make Benjamin Netanyahu out there saying that the only way in which, you know, Israel will respond to this is by doing exactly what you'd expect them to do, which is standing on their own if necessary.
80 years ago, in the Holocaust, the Jewish people were totally defenseless against those who sought our destruction. No nation came to our aid. Today, we again confront enemies bent on our destruction. I say to the leaders of the world, no amount of pressure, no decision by any international forum will stop Israel from defending itself. As the Prime Minister of Israel, the one and only Jewish state, I pledge here today from Jerusalem on this Holocaust Remembrance Day, if Israel is forced to stand alone, Israel will stand alone.
Yeah, and that is exactly what the Israeli people would want to hear from their leader right now, is that they will stand alone if they're forced to do it. There is no ironclad support that you can possibly say you're actually providing to another country if you are now preventing yourself from giving them that actual support. And here's the thing, and this is what I kept thinking of when I saw that, when you have Trump in a courtroom week after week, saying that he's got to defend something that is politically motivated. And absolutely, the timing of it is 100% politically on purpose, at the very least, if not every single shade of every part of this. And so then you have this stat, and you might have heard it yesterday. MSNBC was shocked when they played this audio, or when they, you know, discussed this thing, that more people, independents right now, think that Biden is a greater threat to our democracy than Trump is. There's no bit of shock in any of us that hear this, because of how much it just simply makes sense when you're paying attention to all these things going on throughout the world and throughout our country. Here we go.
Another thing interesting in this polling was more independents said that they worry about President Biden weakening democracy than Trump, 53% to 42%. What do you make of this?
I find it shocking, honestly. I can't, you know, make sense of that number. I wish I could. I wish I could have some really great insight to it. But
I have insight.
I don't know if it's an outlier or not, because the other numbers with independents and Biden are going in the right direction. So that may be it. But also, just one thing I wanted to add on to what Basil said. You know, this trial's not on TV. You guys do a great job reporting what's happening. But if
I got to stop it for 1 second, because that's one of my favorite things that gets pointed out a lot now as almost a benefit. Like, see, this means that it's not political, that it can't be political because it's not on television. You do recall when Hunter Biden said that he refused to testify to Congress about any of the things they wanted to ask him questions about. The reason he refused is because it would be behind closed doors, and that was wrong. That would allow people to shape the narrative whatever way they wanted to. Those are literally the things that Hunter Biden and his legal team said, and then a whole bunch of politicians echoed as to why Hunter would not be willing to show up even if subpoenaed, which of course he was. And now that this is not on television and the narrative gets to be shaped by people who get to retell you their version of what happened in the courtroom, they are absolutely trying to make it about something it's not about. They discuss what Stormy said and how her, you know, testimony went, and then they leave out the fact that in cross-examination she was destroyed for being someone that's utterly uncredible. And it just continued to make me think of this one odd moment that I'm sure a lot of people forgot about. But I kept thinking to myself, like, I know Stormy Daniels did a crap ton of interviews for quite some time in 2016, 2017, 2018, essentially as many as she could possibly do, is what it kind of felt like was happening there for a while, in order to, you know, just continue to benefit from her name being out there in the world. And so I found one of those things that I just could have sworn was real. And it's a 60 Minutes interview she did with 60 Minutes Australia, of all places, where she talks about so many of these things in such a different way than when she's on the witness stand. She even laughs about some of these things. And you can tell that 60 Minutes Australia wants her to go a road she's not going. But I think there's a moment in this interview that is absolutely the most important and should be just played anywhere for anyone to obliterate the credibility of Stormy Daniels. And I don't know that a lot of people are finding it, but here it is. Here's a little bit of this back and forth, and I'll tell you when the moment happens that seems to be the most significant to me.
The last hour and a half that we were talking, it was just like you and I are talking now. How he mentally got from A to B, I still don't know. But
When you emerge from the bathroom, he's down to his wife fronts and socks. Is that right?
Yes.
It still makes you laugh.
You know what? I have to applaud his confidence.
Okay, even right there, she's applauding his confidence. Now, I'm going to leave this in. I don't know why Australia's 60 Minutes wanted to take this weird shot at Trump, but this is going to happen.
According to Stormy, what followed was the least impressive sex she's ever had.
Weird
why
shot.
Did you have sex with him?
I have no idea.
Okay, stop it right there. And actually, you know what? I'll play another sentence she says after it. But she's asked this question in 2018 when she's become no longer a big talking point in the States, but a talking point in other parts of the world. She says she has no idea in 2018.
Even after all this time?
Yeah, I have no idea. Either I was in the right place at the right time or I was the wrong place at the wrong time. And my opinion of that changes about every 20 minutes.
All right. So whether or not Trump agrees, whether or not he says this actually happened and he 100% rejects it, and that's fine. A whole lot of people can believe the former president and his stance on this. And I'm not saying it's wrong, by the way. But listen to her version. The thing that she's asking you to believe, she's not even sure if it was the right place, right time. Right, like, it's crazy. And for her to say that her opinion changes every few minutes or every so often on that, means that she's utterly uncredible as a witness. She's every part of her can be thrown out testimony-wise because she's admitting that she's retold this story so many different times in so many different ways that even the version of events she's giving you isn't consistent, and she's acknowledging it. So it is crazy that media dove in and took what they did from that story. And as I said, that audio is just something that I sort of kept thinking I knew existed out there in the world because of how damaging it should be. And I guess it's not something that's played a whole lot of places. But she did so many interviews. There's so many other moments that are easy to find where she's telling different stories. And that is all media wants you to focus on, not whether or not Trump was somehow responsible for a tax mistake, if that's what you want to call it, that his organization made, which I very much doubt he actually does the taxes for the Trump organization himself. Anyway, one other quick thing. California is crazy. A lot of places in our country are crazy. The violence and the way in which people get right back out on the street, no matter what they do, no matter how they behave. But this story, I think this is Fox 2 out of California, talking about a postal office worker. A woman that's just put mail in a mailbox that gets robbed at gunpoint is just surreal. But here, I'll play a little bit of this audio.
Surveillance video shows the female postal carrier putting items into a mailbox in front of a home in Dublin Monday afternoon around 4:30, when suddenly a masked man followed by a second person comes up from behind her. The postal worker, who asked not to be identified, describes being robbed at gunpoint.
Somebody came behind me and boom, just hit me and put a gun to the back of my head. And he said, give me your keys. You don't want to die, do you? I go, no. So I reached in and got my keys, gave him my keys. And he goes, where's your phone? You got 2 minutes.
The carrier went to the mail truck to get her phone and handed it to the armed robber while fearing the worst.
Oh my God, I'm going to die.
But the two men ran away after taking the keys to mailboxes and the truck, along with her cell phone. She went to a neighbor for help and called.
This is crazy. This is our country. This is the United States. This is someone just delivering mail that gets robbed at gunpoint and people run away with keys and whatnot and her phone. It's just, it's absolutely ridiculous that these things aren't being handled in a way in a whole lot of places, in a whole lot of cities, that make it incapable of having these people back on the streets doing it again the very next day. That's essentially the world we live in. And this is why people are flooding out of these states and out of these cities and flooding to parts of the country where people are actually handling things the right way. But it's surreal to think about this and whatever the gain is from the people who did this. I have no idea what they even got from the mailbox keys and the phone that they took at gunpoint from a woman delivering mail. But it is absolutely unrecognizable at times what our country is becoming. And that is one of the main reasons and big reasons why, when independents are asked, hey, who's more likely to be a threat to democracy? The answer is the guy in charge of all this right now, and how unrecognizable this is from what's supposed to exist here in this country. A quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
As we roll forward, our friends over at Gold Co. Precious Metals, they want to make sure that you are, that your savings particularly are protected. The world is very much economically unstable by the day. People who can't do math run the economy. People who are economically illiterate make policy, monetary policy decisions. It's terrifying. That's why protecting your savings with precious metals like gold and silver through Goldco is the best way, adding it as a hedge against inflation. Now, you can get a free 2024 wealth protection kit and learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as a listener of this program. And Goldco has a very unique quality. They have an education-first stance. They're very thorough with the information they provide. It's a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers, and they explain how the economy and gold IRAs work. And it's all about making sure that you understand the importance of this as an overall part of your retirement savings strategy. No pressure. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Goldco and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dana Show is everywhere. Definitely check it out. Find Dana at DLash on Twitter as well, on X. I always accidentally call it Twitter. Let's do a quick top five, shall we?
Five. All of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Amen. And these quick five are news you probably don't even need, but I want to share with you because they're awesome. First, a bunch of top senators believe that we are hiding UFOs. A lot of people say that they distract us with the alien UFO conversation in order to make us not pay attention to the stuff that's more important. I can do both, people. I can pay attention to anyone, anywhere that's telling me that aliens are real and you're hiding stuff from me, and then also still care about all the lies the Democrats are telling. But I'm in on this. I'm in, and I'm glad that more and more senators and politicians are at least begrudgingly admitting some of these things. I want to see where else it goes. Speaking of silly stories out there where people are finally admitting some mistakes, I love the setup for this one. Zoo-goers realized very quickly in China that a panda exhibit was actually dogs. They were painted black and white to look like pandas. And I'll be honest, if you're just looking at the animal, it might kind of look like a baby panda. But here's the thing, the dogs were just barking at people. And they had like a doghouse in the back. And so people are like, I'm pretty sure those aren't pandas. I'm pretty sure that's not how pandas react to any of this stuff. You bring out like bacon treats and throw them and all the dogs chase them. And you're like, yeah, those aren't pandas. But this is, oopsie, our problem. A counterfeit ring that the zoo bought the pandas from winds up actually awesomely selling dogs that look like pandas. I actually feel a little bit bad for the dogs, but it's fine. They'll be okay. They'll be good because they're dogs. They're happy all the time. I love this. A Jersey Shore town has had to ban two things that feel very much like they're tied to Sopranos or the Jersey Shore in general. You're not allowed to dig a large hole anymore on the beach, and you're definitely not allowed to bury anybody in that sand. I don't know if they just mean like when you're still alive and you're just playing around and you like bury somebody, but you let their head stick out, that sort of thing. But it's a problem, they're saying. If you're going to bury people, you can't do it in anything other than the standing position, which means the only way to bury them all the way up to their head is going to be very difficult. You're also not allowed to dig a large hole. This feels like the, you know, and I'm from the East Coast. I'm from Jersey, and I am an Italian. This feels like a shot at me and my family. That's what it feels like is going on there, or me and my kin. And how dare you, sir? We'll dig a hole wherever we want to dig a hole. Another thing I love, just quickly, there was a gender reveal party that went poorly because they planned it badly. Gender reveal is dumb all the time. But in this situation, the way in which they fired out, I guess, this, blue dust and stuff, they fired it onto the crowd of people that were sitting there waiting to find out if they were having a boy or a girl. So people got blasted in the face, it says on social media, and they took it like a champ. I'm sure you can take that whatever way you want. But in this situation, what's hilarious about this is, you know, all the people were not expecting to be doused with things, and yet they were. Because here's the thing. I think that gender reveal parties actually cause more injuries than a lot of other parties. So we need to ban them for that reason, because they're hurting Americans and they're just stupid. All right, quick break. A lot more coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
our partners that help bring you free radio over at Kel-Tec, the Sub 2K. It reads a Sub 2000 on the website, but they have a new iteration. It's the Gen 3, Generation 3. It's shipping. It's been shipping now for a little while. And it's easy to store, easy to deploy. The accuracy is awesome, and you can just have fun with it. And when I say it's easier to store and deploy, you can fold it in half, right? But previously, like with the one that I have, you have to take your optics off, right? You have to detach your optics. You don't have to do that with the Gen 3. It folds in half, just a super simple twist and fold motion, singular in either direction, so you don't have to reattach and detach all your favorite optics over and over again. And it takes Glock mags. Glock 19 mags fit flush. Glock 17 stick mags, they fit with the mag just going a little bit past the grip. Improved trigger, so they've redesigned it for a lighter 5-pound pull, which translates into improved accuracy as well. The action's updated, so it's easier to rack. Eternal buffer means softer recoil. It's just a great 9mm carbine, and it's shipping now, and it's great when space is a premium. So it's Kel-Tec, made in America, Florida-based, family-owned values at their best. To learn more about the Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's KeltecWeapons.com, and tell them Dana sent you.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. Dana's all over the place. You can find her on YouTube, on Rumble, on pretty much everything. Awesome. The Dana Show. D-Lash on Twitter, on social media, too, on X. All right, let's do this. Let's play part of the open of CNN's interview with our current president, President Biden, and how savage it really is, even though CNN doesn't want it to be, and they're going to try to avoid it at other times. But they were trying to make the president tell the truth, something he very much struggled with throughout this thing. But here's how it opened up. And again, you be the judge of whether or not this is brutal. Because, well, darn it, it's all actually true.
When you talk about the economy, of course, it is by far the most important issue for voters. It's also true right now, Mr. President, that voters by a wide margin trust Trump more on the economy. They say that in polls. And part of the reason for that may be the numbers. And you're aware of many of these, of course. The cost of buying a home in the United States is double what it was when you look at your monthly costs from before the pandemic. Real income, when you account for inflation, is actually down since you took office. Economic growth last week, far short of expectations. Consumer confidence, maybe no surprise, is near a two-year low.
No surprise.
With less than 6 months to go to Election Day,
yeah.
Are you worried that you're running out of time to turn that around?
The answer is yeah, because I've screwed it all up. Everything's on fire. My bad.
We've already turned around. Look at the Michigan survey.
Look at you.
For 65% of American people think they're in good shape.
Everybody's happy. What are you talking about? All this stuff is crazy. There was another moment I liked even more where that back and forth was sort of insane. Here's that moment.
What about, but there's real pain. I mean, grocery prices are up 30%, more than 30%. Since the beginning of the pandemic, and people are spending more on food and groceries than they have at any time really in the past 30 years. I mean, that's a real day-to-day pain that people
feel. It really is, and it's real. But okay. The fact is that if you take a look at what the men people have, they have the money to spend.
I love that. Oh, yeah, it's real. It's definitely a pain. I get it. But also, these ingrates, they're making the money anyway. How dare any of them complain? That's the most ridiculous version of, I'm elite and everyone else better shut up that I've ever heard in I don't know, a while. It's just so crazy. And maybe Biden actually believes it. Maybe his brain is, in fact, that broken. But we don't have the money. That's part of the problem. That's why people feel the way they do. Everyone understands this. Stats don't lie. Facts matter. However you want to go about it. Here's a little bit of audio of someone talking about exactly that.
What's the biggest strain right now on many younger Americans' budgets? One report says it's rising food costs. The CNBC Generation Lab survey polled more than 1,000 people between the ages of 18 and 34 when asked what budget item was most impacted by inflation. 54% said food, followed by rent at 22%.
54% are like, yeah, food costs more. And I can't stop buying that. I have to keep buying that, I think. I think there's only one route to go there. All right. I saw this audio, and probably a lot of people have heard this now. It's not exactly a new position for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I've been saying for a while on all the different radio stuff I do, that even though he seems to be garnering attention from both sides of the political aisle, and there are some, I don't know if they're conservative or more independent people that might vote for Trump, that would consider voting for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. based on some of the things he's saying that you never hear from the Democratic Party, things that a lot of people believe to be true, but just are refused. But there are also some issues with this individual and some of the stances he has on stuff that would make him a very unattractive candidate to a lot of conservatives. A case in point is probably this, and this is the most recent admission or interview where he put this stance out there. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is supportive of abortion up until essentially birth, and he did not mince words in saying that. Here we go.
But so to leave, so in other words, keeping it as is with Roe versus Wade having been overturned and leaving it up to the states to determine if and when a woman can have an abortion?
No, I wouldn't leave it to the states.
Right.
No, I would.
You would say completely, it's up to the woman.
My belief is we should leave it to the woman. We shouldn't have government involved.
Even if it's full term?
Even if it's full term.
Yeah, that's crazy to say it like that with that level of, yeah, that's fine. I get it. It makes sense. Here's the thing that I always think about, and I'm a 30-something-year-old white dude. When I think about abortion and that whole conversation, I don't understand why we couldn't give the version that we have right now, where states decide years to demonstrate to us whether or not the American people believe in one side of this conversation or the other. And what I mean by that is, if you allow states to have individual control, no, the Supreme Court did not ban abortion. It's not something that's not allowed in our country. And yes, certain conservatives have said they would look into a federal ban that does not include Trump, much to the, anger of some that were hoping for something stronger from the current Republican candidate. But it is what it is. His position is that states deserve the right to control it. And so let's say that in the next 15, 20, 30, I'm not sure how long it would take, years, you get a much better understanding of if this issue, this one issue, causes a lot of people to show up to ballot boxes throughout their state and vote other people into power that would transform the position. Because a whole lot of states are fairly well set up, you know, in the sense of we kind of know what states will make what decisions on this issue and how strongly they'll go one way or the other based on the conservative or Democratic makeup of the state. In a place like Illinois, a place that I've lived for a long time, abortion will remain legal. There's no avenue right now toward changing that unless a whole bunch of Democrats and a whole bunch of heavily Democratic voting places near Chicago and whatnot actually were voted out of office for Republicans that would change that. The same is true throughout everywhere else in the country. Are you going to see a tremendous difference in what individuals are in charge in what states based solely on this issue? And if you don't see that, then I think a lot of people have to admit that the abortion conversation is much more nuanced than a lot of mainstream media wants you to believe it is. It's much more that there are Americans that feel strongly about the pro-life side of this thing than anyone anywhere that says, you know, this is a women's health issue and how dare anybody say anything differently. I want you to understand. I would like to know the actual opinion of the American people. It doesn't seem like a lot of politicians care about that. But I would like to know, and I think this is the best avenue to finding out, is allowing these laws to be in place in some states and not others, and seeing what happens in statewide elections for the next however many years. All right, let's move on. I've said that enough times. I thought this was interesting. A News Nation is playing a lot of different things, and some of them go viral on the internet. I don't know if this is because they're not a very well-watched television station right now or news organization, but this one was interesting. They had a anonymous Border Patrol agent that said they're not in control of the border, and the people who are in control of the border are exactly the people you might assume it is, the Mexican drug cartel. So here's a little bit of that audio.
The biggest thing is that we do not control the border. The cartel controls the border. Everything that we do is a reaction to things that they have planned. Usually we're chasing around pawns while the kings and queens are doing whatever they want.
Now, that audio is kind of weird because they have to change the voice so you can't tell who it is. But think about what he's saying. that, well, I assume it's a dude, what they're saying, because not even being able to fight the actual issue is by and large the real problem. And so I saw this take the other day, and I thought it was interesting. Trump met with a bunch of oil executives, promised them a loosening of all the crazy restrictions that the current president has put on oil and gas, even exporting liquid natural gas and whatnot, things that easily would make a difference in the cost of stuff, because transportation costs would go way down if the cost of gasoline and other things goes down. But nonetheless, Trump made a promise. He said, if you guys work with me, if you give a certain amount of money to my campaign, I will do everything to work with you. And I assume Trump will do that anyway. And then also there's this other take out there of Trump saying that he will use a certain United States military to go and effectively try to upend some cartel in certain areas in maybe the border between the United States and Mexico. Now, let's think about both of those things independently for just a second. If cost of stuff goes down because transportation costs go down, that's inherently good for Americans right now who say they're struggling, they can't afford to live. And then also, if there was a strike force of some kind used to actually defeat some of the cartel that Mexico is failing to defeat, at least in the border, at least because, you know, those individuals are taking control of it or, you know, sending certain things into our country, like fentanyl and whatnot, that's inherently good. And yet both of these things were shaped as bad or crazy and ridiculous, a dictator type stuff, whatever you want to call it, from the former president to oil and gas or whoever else you want it to be. It's sort of amazing because those simple policy changes that Trump would not be alone in changing, that a lot of other Republicans would believe in as well, would make a tremendous difference in our society. And so they have to be told, or you have to be told, that this is somehow the worst possible thing anyone could do, when the reality is so far from that. But if you're hearing Border Patrol agents say, we're not in control, we have no control over the border, and you're saying you can't impeach Alejandro Mayorkas, you can't do anything to force this administration to actually care about the border, then what do you need to do? You need to put people in positions of power that will do other things, and you need to defeat at least the cartel that exists at the border with our country so they stop arrogantly believing that they're more powerful than we are. The United States is more than capable of doing that, and if Trump is willing to do it, more power to him. Awesome. I am actually married to someone who was originally born in Mexico and is now a U.S. citizen living here in the United States. And she would celebrate very, very hard the idea that the United States would do something to stop some of the cartel, whether they're on our side or their side of the border. That sounds amazing. And yet it's being shaped as some sort of authoritarian, far-reaching ridiculousness that it obviously is not. All right. On that note, I will take a quick break, a quick pause. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. More in a minute.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in for the day. It's time for Florida Man. Let's do some Florida Man stories.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I love that intro. Okay, first, a Florida man stared down a bobcat while chilling outside by the pool. This went viral all over social media. I think a weather guy in Florida actually was one of the people that posted the video. It says, welcome to Florida, where a bobcat walks right in front of you, and you just casually continue about your day in the pool. I don't know if this means that you didn't understand it was a bobcat, or if you've seen enough of them to be like, it'll be fine. This will all be okay. But there's a certain level of credibility I think you probably get as a Florida man who did this sort of thing. Bobcats are relatively common in Florida, despite most Floridians saying they've never seen one. This guy apparently is hoarding all of them in his house. That's Florida man number one. I have more. Of course we do. Florida man number two is a dude that was actually intent on doing a lot of horrible stuff. It's a golf course greenskeeper who had intended to hurt and try to take the life of a few people at a college campus, but luckily his plan was horrible. First thing he did is he drove a tractor through the college campus and through some of the dorm rooms, literally like into the hallway and whatnot. That'll gain you some attention, I imagine, if you're driving a tractor certain places. He then actually proceeded to attack the plumbing system of said dorm, and he was charged with a whole bunch of crazier things, but more and more video, more and more stuff coming out about 22-year-old Ethan, who is definitely in a lot of trouble and also probably was trying to quit his job at the same time. I'm not sure. I don't know why you steal a tractor to do anything. I don't know why in any scenario where you think you're going to outrun law enforcement or do something that people don't see coming, you immediately go the world of very slow vehicle that is very distracting if it's in the wrong places, including, of course, inside a college dorm. Luckily, he was arrested, caught, not capable of hurting anyone, and likely going to jail for quite some time after everything about him was discovered. All right, I got a third Florida man, and then I have a bonus Florida story I think I'm going to do. Third Florida guy is everywhere. This story is being covered a lot. This is a guy who fell into a shark-filled marina, and he says he's lucky to be alive. He didn't feel teeth as they were sunk into parts of his body, and he said, that's crazy that you don't feel that. But he also said, don't be scared. I think that was probably the best piece of advice that he gave to WFLA and WFLA.com, which has the story up. He was bitten by a shark. He was flown to a hospital for treatment. And as he said, he admitted he is lucky to be alive. But he's like, you don't need to be afraid of them. Sharks are only so dangerous so often. And if you fall in a giant, you know, area where a whole bunch of sharks are, that's probably going to be a more likely to be bad situation than anything else. For the most part, though, don't take any additional precaution or concern. Easy for him to say is probably the best way to say it. And then I do have, this is a bonus Florida story that I just like so much, I had to include it. There's a specific county now in Florida that said they want to get in front of all of the bad weather that happens there, St. Petersburg, Florida specifically. So for the time being, you can show up to a certain area of public works and pick up some free sandbags that you can put in your house to brace yourself for any sort of storm that might be coming, regardless of if one's coming or not. And the way they said that this is good is you don't want to wait in those long lines with all the other residents when the storm is actually coming, when the hurricane is upon us. You want to have your sandbags in advance. Now, granted, they don't have enough for you to take as many as you need. You only get 10 free sandbags per person, which as via their own online post means you can only really prop up one door. You're only really securing one part of your home. But these are free for you, and they're free to collect now, regardless of if we're expecting bad weather in the near future. I found that to be hilarious. And especially the people who take them up on that. These are going to be Florida men that I definitely would, you know, enjoy to hang out with, because they'll be like, hey, what's that bag of, you know, sand or those bags of sand in the corner of your house right now? Oh, those are my free sandbags. I get 10, you get 10, we all get 10. I'm glad I have those ones there. I'll probably still need more if I have to, you know, brace for a storm. But hey, I'm on top of it a little bit. That's the kind of thing you do to let the missus know, I got this, babe. Don't worry. If something happens, I'm in control. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. You can find Dana Lash everywhere, dominance in the world of media. You can find her on YouTube, on Rumble, on pretty much any platform, and also on X, D Lash or Dana Lash Radio are great ways to stay connected to her. All right, let's do some of this stuff. First, Trump, while also doing a throwdown version of anytime, anywhere, anyplace, a video on social media saying he's ready to debate Biden whenever Biden's ready to debate him. Also told a lot of conservatives that if the rules of the game are a certain way, then go ahead and play by them. Absentee, early ballot or early voting, election day voting. Do all the options because you can't keep fighting a fight by refusing to do some of the things if some states are going to make them legal, even if it doesn't really make sense that so many things are. But here's a little bit of that audio.
Absentee voting, early voting, and election day voting are all good options. Republicans must make a plan, register, and vote. We've got to get crooked Joe Biden out of office. We've got to elect Republicans, and we're going to do it. We're going to have the greatest victory in the history of our country. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you very much. God bless you. He also, as I said, did say anytime, anywhere, any place, which I truly loved. But this is a rhetoric that you've been hearing from the Republican Party for a bit now, that until you can get the rules changed to be, well, rules that make more sense, things like voter ID are not crazy controversial topics to the average American, even if politicians want to pretend they are. But until you can get those rules changed, go ahead and play by whatever rules in whatever state you live in that they make, benefit their side and not yours. Don't stand against them if you have to play by them. And I think that's good advice. I think that makes sense. We do want those things to change, of course. I want to see those things change. But until they do, darn it, you got to do what you got to do. I thought this was interesting. Biden was giving a message to supporting women's sports. And yet so many Democrats, so many on the left, including the current president, misunderstand how that happens, misunderstand what that is. But here's a bit of that audio.
Most watched women's college game ever. It matters to girls and women finally seeing themselves represented. And it matters to all of America. That's why as a nation, we need to support women's sports.
As a nation, we need to support women's sports because, this college athlete did get a lot of eyeballs. She's likely to get a lot of eyeballs as she moves on to the WNBA, too, which will be interesting. Caitlin Clark, of course, her name. But more important than that, you know, it'd be so interesting right now is if someone had come along in the last season that Caitlin Clark was in college basketball and claimed to be a woman, but in fact be a biological man and just dominate, Caitlin Clark on a basketball court, you would wonder if that would change the perspective, if that would change the conversation. And it probably wouldn't of many Democrats, because as I say that, you also have the CNNs of the world opening segments that they call the whole story by saying things in a pretty ridiculous way. I'll play that audio for you quickly, too.
In schools across the country, transgender athletes are fighting for the right to play sports on a team that aligns with their gender identity. Opponents are arguing it's completely unfair.
All right, I got to stop it already. So that's the lead-in to their whole topic and their, you know, emotional story about how difficult it would be if your kid wasn't being allowed to play in sports for whatever the reason might be, although, of course, this reason is that they'd have a biological advantage against people they were competing against. This is insane. It's insane to do this. And the easiest thing to say about this that actually does protect women's sports is acknowledge why they were separated in the first place. Why don't boys play against girls in more sports, in more of our society? Because it wouldn't be fair. Because there are differences between men and women that make it unfair. You know it and I know it. I'm not trying to be sexist. I'm not trying to say that I would do well if I checked into a WNBA basketball game later tonight. It's stupid to go those roads. But would any member of an NBA team absolutely obliterate people if they got to check in to a WNBA game? The answer is yes. We know this. We've known this for a long time. And yet we pretend this isn't true for the sake of, I don't know, a very, very small amount of people who may, in fact, be sad if they're not allowed to play sports the way that they want to play sports. But you have to acknowledge the challenge. And I think the best way to even, demonstrate this to anyone is something I've been saying for a bit now, where let's say you were the parent of a young girl and she has dedicated her life to a specific sport from a young age, which a lot of kids have to do now to be really, truly good at it, even at like a college level. It's amazing how much more money and how much more time is spent by parents and families on one sport for their kid if they really show an interest in it and really show a talent for it to get them to the top. So many people are dedicating, you know, and spending extra dollars and sending people on travel baseball teams or soccer or whatever it might be. And so you do all that and your kid is one of the best in most of the schools she's in. And then she gets to the collegiate level and she loses to someone who has had an advantage over her the entire time, an advantage that she can't close. What do you say to your kid who spent all that time, all those years training for a moment that they feel like was stolen from them? And I know very few parents have kids who wind up going on and playing collegiate sports or any of that stuff. But again, that's where the real question is and the conversation is, and it's just utterly ignored. As a quick sidebar to jump out of the world of these kind of political talking points. But since I'm talking about sports, there's something else I'm utterly tempted to play and discuss. And I don't know. I know that our producer and some other people are joking that this has to be some sort of prank that was played. It can't be real. And I have no idea. I don't know what to say or think. But Luka Doncic was doing a post-game press conference. And You know, regular questions are being asked. All this stuff is happening. I'm really going to play this audio. And all of a sudden, you hear noises. You don't see anything. You don't really know what's going on. Your brain will probably decide what you think is going on. And so I'm not breaking any rules by playing this on the radio. You're breaking rules in your own brain if you think it's untoward. But here is what the noises were. And then my favorite part is how everybody in the room reacts to it, because we are all kids at heart and we all laugh like teenage boys and girls in certain moments for certain reasons. Here you go.
We were open shots, so just our sharing the ball and our energy was great.
What do you think? Okay, moving on.
Luca even says, I really hope that's not live, wondering if there's a live feed, which there was, of this press conference, which is hilarious to me. But I don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on. You might think you do. We might all think we do, but we don't actually know. I love the fact that everybody laughed, though, and everybody had a moment of pause and a moment to really think about a lot of different things and pull themselves out of whatever world you're in, whatever stuff you think is you know, more important. I actually, you know what I really love about sports in general? And it's something that's been taken away very slowly by either the people in professional levels who need to talk about other things, and not just the athletes themselves. I don't care if an athlete wants to have a message or stand, you know, on certain issues, on whatever platform they have. But when the league is doing it, when the teams are doing these things that they seem to be throwing their support behind, it makes it unescapable. It makes anyone that disagrees or doesn't even want to think about it incapable of ignoring that part of whatever the discussion is. And the things I like is the moments in sports when you just get to escape, when you just get to be in the moment of a game where your team is trying to win and another team is trying to win, and you know, some things are happening that you're not capable of doing yourself on whatever the court or, you know, a field is. And you think to yourself, man, like this is a good moment or a cool moment or a moment I'll remember for a long time because of whatever is happening. And then also, I guess, in a press conference where something silly occurs, your mind just gets to escape from any of the seriousness. And we're missing that. And that is the reason that I think more people say that sports is even a less relaxing thing. And actually, I think it was one of the most commonly given answers for the best way to escape from the news and things of the day that's slowly but surely been obliterated for whatever reason in a whole lot of ways. All right, one last thing. I do want to play this to get back to something serious, just because I don't want to save it for later in the show. So I'm definitely going to play it now. This is Greta Thunberg, the Greta Thunberg. She's attending a pro-Palestinian rally in Sweden. And she says that, you know, U.S. college protests should be everywhere. Everybody needs to be doing this stuff. They need to have their voices heard. And she's being Greta in the Greta-iest of ways. Here we go.
I think they should be everywhere. And once again, young people are leading the way, showing the world how we should react to this.
Yeah, I don't think that's true, by the way. I think a whole lot of people feel that it is a absolutely oversimplified and offensive message that's being shared on some college campuses throughout our country because of how anti-Semitic a lot of it's become and how you're chanting things that terrorists, that Hamas chants, you know, and every other version of a reaction to it. Oversimplifying issues doesn't make them, you know, easier for us to find agreement on. It just makes it easier for us to see how truly, truly unaware those are who are willing to go this far with this. No, I don't think they should be everywhere. I absolutely think these protests are things that even the people themselves that are involved in them will one day wind up regretting when they understand better what exactly they were doing. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Follow her on Twitter, on social media, on X, I guess I'm supposed to say, D Lash there, Dana Lash Radio, DanaRadio.com, everywhere. She's all over the place and incredibly successful. Thrilled to be here for Dana today. Let's do a quick five. There's an intro for this, right?
And now
there it is.
The news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
You'd think I'd remember every time. All right, let's do some. Most Americans agree you stop being cool at 39 years old. That is when things tip, and apparently you have no idea what is trendy anymore. And that's fine. I think that people don't care. I think what actually is cool is the older you get, the less you care about being cool. And that's the thing that matters more. And I know that people that are of a certain age, I'm almost 39 actually, don't give a crap if you think that they're awesome or not, or any of the things they say are things that you think are, you know, trendy or not. And none of that matters. And that to me is the coolest of all things. All right. That's one. Another one I really liked: a wedding was upstaged by a woman that was described as dressed as a creepy cat. Or a creepy cat woman. This is the weirdest thing I've seen in a while. This woman is wearing half of a cat costume. Nothing below the pants is abnormal. She's got a regular set of pants on. But everything above is cat. And then she was slowly crawling and trying to approach the wedding from the background of it. And that is, in fact, very creepy. And something that you don't understand why somebody's doing. But I just love the fact that she did it lazy. You know, if you're going to be a cat, if you're going to claim that you're a cat person, go full. Don't go half. That's not dedication. I'd be more, impressed with you if you slowly tried to creep everybody out while also fully dressed up as a cat. I still wouldn't say that it's the right thing to do. I'm not all of a sudden a fan. I just think it's ridiculous. Another thing out there that I saw and I thought was pretty interesting was something called the Comedy Pet Photo Awards. I guess they've been going on for a little while now. I know this is radio, so I can't show you all of these photos, but they are pretty funny. Their pets stuck in all kinds of different positions, whether it's a cat that gets stuck in a sidewalk with the butt sticking up, horses, all kinds of animals making errors in judgment that wind up putting them in somewhat embarrassing moments. And for some reason, someone took a photo of this. My favorite one, although it's probably not going to win funniest photo award, is a dog that you can only see the ears of that's buried in snow, because my dog loves snow and does this constantly, and it's always the same level of joy. Like, it's something I can't get as a person with a brain that's a little bit better off than a dog, and I wish I could get this joy, because every time my dog buries her head in the snow and then pops her head up and runs around, she's as happy as the first time she did it. And that's just, the ignorance is bliss. People are right, man. It seems amazing. But anyway, apparently there's 30 entrants for the funniest or, you know, best comedy pet photo. And someone will win some amount of money and some sort of bragging rights. And I'll just be happy that you got to see a bunch of these photos. So you can find them all over social media. Actually, the New York Post, I think, actually has a post with all of them, too. Another thing I found that I thought was interesting are the benefits of the cold plunge. A whole lot of people might be jumping into some kind of cold water, or at least did during the winter months to raise money for something. And so people are wondering, is this good for us? Is this bad for us? Well, the internet has tried to tell you, and a lot of experts are saying it, in fact, is good for you. It helps with inflammation. It helps with all kinds of things. And I really love this story because a friend of mine, a veteran, once a month on the 22nd of every month, jumps into a cold body of water and does it to raise awareness to something that is very important, veteran suicide. He calls it the Patriot Plunge, and he encourages other people to do it online. The 22nd of any month, jump in a cold body of water and hashtag Patriot Plunge, and you're helping raise awareness to something important. That's probably why I like this story as much as I did. All right, that's the quick five. A lot more coming up in a bit. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Tired of the same old predictable commentary? Spice up your day with a Dana Show podcast, where dynamic discussions, compelling guests, and Dana's unique perspective await. Download on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in for the day. Dana is back next week. Follow her on everything, X D Lash or Dana Lash Show. Et cetera, et cetera. She's all over the place. All right, let's do this. Jack Smith's evidence might actually wind up being a problem for him in the classified documents case. What I mean by that is the photo that you probably all remember that was taken after the raid of Mar-a-Lago, where you had a whole bunch of documents thrown all over the floor and a bunch of, it seemed, top secret things written on some of those documents. Two problems with that. First, apparently, the people that raided Mar-a-Lago brought a lot of those top secret holder things those, you know, cover sheets, I guess is what you can call them, with them. So they put them on top of documents because they were supposed to be using them to separate one set of documents from another set. And then even more importantly, by throwing them all around on the ground and then scooping them all back up and putting them wherever they put them and taking photos of them and then moving them around after that, they've lost order of these documents. There's photos that seem to show what the order should be, and then you go look and the documents are not in that order. There's some that are mysterious where it seems there's placeholder, cover sheets, and then nothing behind it. And so one of the big things that was asked was, can you get these back in order? Do you think you can establish which ones were found in what place and, you know, what they are, et cetera, et cetera? Mostly because the other person being tried with Trump on this case is someone that works for Trump at Mar-a-Lago, who had moved certain documents that Trump asked him to. And it's become very important to understand what those documents were, if they were things that Trump actually had a right to or not. And so the inability for Jack Smith and his team to put these documents back in order is a likely crushing blow to this case. Not just that it's been indefinitely postponed, but that essentially the evidence could easily now have been tampered with. A lot of other things bad could happen here. It's just sort of amazing because it seems so often that you can demonstrate to people. I mean, we had a guest on earlier in the show that said everything happening in the courtroom this week with Trump and Stormy Daniels is just a bad way to try to litigate a tax case. You don't need to go these roads if you're trying to find out if someone is guilty of you know, tax fraud of some kind or anything like it. It certainly just seems salacious for the intent to be salacious. And so it continues to undercut the actual, you know, intention or value the Democrats claim they're going after here, that it's anything other than political theater, because the political theater component is making it harder for the component that's not political theater to be taken seriously. And this is happening again and again and again. And I think it's actually quite interesting. All right. A former Secret Service agent says the agency whistleblowers are raising the alarms after an alleged petition has circulated. So a former Secret Service agent by the name of Tim Miller popped up on Fox News the other night. Among the things that was being discussed was how very many whistleblowers we've seen all of a sudden come out of the woodwork and have a different versions of conversations and different versions of concerns about a whole bunch of things that we're told to not worry about at all. How dare you think that any of this is serious or important in any way, shape, or form. You know what's so funny about this story to me? And I've played a demonstration of this before, and I can get to the actual, you know, audio itself. But it depends on what side of the aisle you're on as to whether or not mainstream media takes you seriously as a whistleblower. Just calling yourself that isn't good enough in today's society anymore. But if you're a whistleblower who's trying to out something that Republicans are hiding or something that's bad somehow, then you need to be taken seriously no matter what. You can't possibly be someone that is treated poorly. But if you're a whistleblower on the other side of the aisle, then everything you say is complete trash and there's no way anyone can take you seriously whatsoever. At least that seems to very often be the take in this world. And I find that to be, well, you know, a problem, to say the very least. But the whistleblower for the Secret Service, former Secret Service agent, Tim Miller, is going into all the vulnerabilities, potential insider threats of having an organization that is corrupted. I do think that that's fascinating. And I think the more voices you hear that come from that world and say that, you know, what's also really interesting about this, and it doesn't necessarily happen in this piece of audio, but it does happen in other cases where you hear someone say that they're a lifelong Democratic voter or they're this or that simply to appease whatever parts of our society right now or whatever parts of the internet refuse to believe someone if you're not a lifelong Democratic voter, which seems like an absolutely broken system in and of itself as well, but something that often happens. This actually was occurring with some of the FBI whistleblowers who came forward when they were saying that they were, you know, in fact, people who vote one certain way or whatever, because it seemed to make it more credible. And that's broken. But here, we'll play a little bit of the audio of Jesse Waters having a conversation with this this brand new whistleblower, I guess you can call him.
Reckless. What's going on?
Yeah, so Jesse, the defund the police boat is taking on water. I think if you look, first it was the IRS, then it's the FBI, And now you have internal Secret Service agents that are raising the alarm. And if you think about it, it's pretty simple. They're concerned that our mission as a Secret Service agent is compromised. And that should cause everybody to go, well, wait a minute. This is the premier protection agency in the world. I'd been a Marine. I'd been a police officer. And when I went through that training, it was challenging. And quite frankly, if the internal agents are rising up and saying we have a problem, Houston, we have a problem.
Yes, you have to listen. You're supposed to listen. That's, again, what left-leaning media told me constantly, no matter who the whistleblower was that came forward, as long as they were saying something negative about the former president and not the current president. But this is interesting. And you know what? It inspires me to talk about one other thing. And it's a thing that I hear a lot now from veterans. Whenever I talk to veterans about the current state of our military, and I'm not saying that this is, you know, true of everyone or even a large portion of the people in our military, because they honorably serve our country. And I have nothing but the most respect for people who volunteer for, you know, that type of job, that type of gig in our society. But some of the veterans of years past say they're worried about the woke ideology that can even permeate our military, which may make some of those people who have, you know, signed up to serve and protect incapable of achieving that goal if put into a real situation. That means that you've simplified something over here, something over there. You're trying to be more inclusive. You're trying to bring in people that, say, wouldn't normally have made it through whatever round of training there needs to be. And I'm not trying to be as sexist as some people might hear me being, although by and large, a lot of the complaints are about how, you know, the standard for, say, a woman is lower than a standard for a man in the military. And that shouldn't exist. If we're being fair, standards should all be the same. And those capable of achieving those standards should be the ones who, in fact, serve and protect. But there's a unique actual, like, secondary challenge that exists here. And it exists in law enforcement, too, now, whenever I have conversations with people in that world. There is a need for a lot more people to sign up for some of these jobs, especially serving and protecting your community as a police officer, because we've seen a tremendous impact on all that rhetoric, all that crap, the defund the police movement and whatnot, to people wanting that job, people who want to take the harassment or the ridiculousness of being yelled at and screamed at in places like New York just for being a police officer. You get vilified no matter who you are. And what our society used to say and should always be saying is you deserve respect. You deserve praise for taking on a job that not everyone will do, that not everyone is capable of doing. But now, since less and less people want to do it, the standard is being lowered to at least get the amount of people necessary to, say, attempt to protect communities. And because of that lowering in a standard, you have the people who are at the, you know, higher end of some of this stuff worrying about what the end result of all this means. And it actually just keeps making me think of one other thing. And that thing is how it's a common phrase. You hear it every once in a while. You know, tough times create tough men and weak times create weak men. And so in a society where maybe, you know, times have not been tough enough on a whole lot of the people who are the most vocal and creating the most issues for whether it's our law enforcement or anyone else out there, via this certain rhetoric or via these protesting on college campus sort of things, you wonder if the byproduct will be a success in a world that you don't want to see in the weakening of our society. I know a lot of people think that's happening on purpose, and I'm not trying to say it is or isn't. I'm just saying that the end result of what, you know, all of these different pushes for equality or pushes for this or that are creating is a world in which some, not all, but some of those who are still honorably choosing to take these types of gigs are less equipped for them than those of the past. And that is a big concern I hear all the time. And as you hear whistleblower after whistleblower emerge from agency after agency and say we've become political, we've become ideological in a way that is bad for us, you have to take that seriously. All right, quick break, a little bit more coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. I thought this was interesting. There's a new Miss USA Miss Hawaii was named Miss USA. I guess this is because the other Miss USA resigned, the first time that any Miss USA has ever resigned willingly, and resigned because of bullying and other stuff. And it's caused a bunch of other former pageant winners to come out there and say how mean the industry is, or how this or that or whatever it is broken. I'm laughing because I can't remember the last time that a whole lot of people cared a lot about Miss USA or, you know, Miss Universe or whatever that stuff is. And I'm not saying that it's not important or doesn't matter at all, but I'm saying that it certainly has lost its luster, especially when some of the conversations that are coming out of that world are the fact that I think there was a transgender woman who bought it for a while and then declared bankruptcy on some of those competitions. I mean, that it seems like it's about way more than just being the best looking or the most talented person on a certain stage. It was simpler in some days than it is now. And so I don't know how to take this, the bullying and all the things that the people are complaining about, whether it's not, whether or not it's like telling you, you got to be in a certain shape to remain Miss USA. You're going to have to lose weight if you gain some, whatever. I don't know. But a lot of people are coming forward. And I think a former Miss New York is one of the people that in the New York Post, they did a long, a deep dive into how the pageant world is dying. But a lot of that stuff is going away. I mean, look at the Victoria's Secret fashion show that used to exist. There was a time period where maybe a guy like me wouldn't mind watching a thing like that on television because it seemed like a pretty fun time for all involved. And then it changed. And then it had ideology because everything is ideology. And then maybe some of the people who feel bullied feel that way because they don't agree with all the ideology. I don't know. And then it just goes away. And are we happier as a society? I would say no. Another thing out there that I thought was kind of funny, rather obvious, say to a lot of people, is that you're a better person when you're hydrated. Somebody did a study. 2,000 Americans were polled and asked all different kinds of questions and even tested in some of these ways to see if the stuff they were saying was actually true. And if you drink a lot of water, or at least if you consider yourself to be well hydrated, you're likely to be better at taking constructive criticism than someone who's dehydrated. You're likely to work better with others. You're likely to be in a better mood. It's just like down the list, the things are kind of crazy. And I do love like that description, hydrated or not, because it isn't just drinking, you know, anything, because actually some things that you drink might make you less hydrated. We know what those are, and they're awesome, and they make some of us awesome even more so, and then very sick the next morning. But what I find so funny about this is how, like, obviously true it is. If you've ever been somebody that doesn't drink a whole lot of water, and then one day you drink a whole lot of water, you realize how much better you feel. And you're like, man, I should do this every single day. And a lot of Americans say they are, in fact, dehydrated. About 40% of us say we're not getting enough water in our system, and we need to get more somehow, and it doesn't seem that tricky, and yet some of us seem to think it is challenging, and I don't know what else to say about it. I'm just wildly amused by it. Another thing I saw that I thought was pretty funny, a young guy went viral on the internet for saying the American dream is dead. He makes three times minimum wage, and he can do nothing in his life, he said. He can't get basic health care. He can't afford anything. So he wants you to know how shockingly upset he is that he can do very little in his life based on the amount of money he's making. The reason I laugh, the reason I find this very funny is because a whole lot of other people have felt this way for a good amount of time, a significant amount of time, say the last few years, as things become ridiculously more expensive. And then even further, if you dive into what takes a young person's money compared to what took money of previous generations, some of the things that we're not spending on as much anymore are basic need things like shelter and food and whatnot, not because they're not ridiculously expensive, but a lot of people are living at home and not spending money on those things. So I think there's some version of middle ground here where you need to save, you need to build yourself the ability to say, be out there on your own. You need to do it very quickly in your life. In your 20s, you should be doing this so that by the time you're in your mid-30s, you're not still living at home saying you can't afford anything, even if you make triple minimum wage. And if that's really true, and I know this is crazy for people that live in a lot of big cities, move. If you don't have the right income for the place in which you are, the decision might be that you need to get somewhere that has a more affordable way of living. If you can't get a better job that gets you, you know, the higher pay, try out a different place in the world. And actually, I do love this. Just quickly, a whole lot of people are moving to Idaho from some of the bigger Democratic-leaning cities because they're finding a Republican-run city or Republican-run state is actually way better in a lot of ways and much simpler and more affordable in some ways, too, since, hey, look at this. All of a sudden, I'm in Idaho and things are great. Hey, let's do one stupid story to get out of here.
All right. We have Morehouse College, which is historically black college university. They have something to say about Biden giving the commencement speech. So here's what they...
Students are upset because President Biden is scheduled to deliver the commencement address later this month. We've learned that Morehouse sent the invitation to President Biden before the war in Gaza. He announced a couple of weeks ago that he's coming. We started hearing rumblings almost immediately that some Morehouse students and alumni were upset, not just with Biden's support of Israel, but some also felt that Biden is using Morehouse as a prop to try to boost his sagging poll numbers among black male voters.
How dare you, sir, do something that you're definitely doing? Hey, it makes sense they're upset. I get it. You get it. See you guys later. Craig Collins filling in on the Dana Lash Show.